I just wanted to get on here and talk about some things because of how my day went today. It wasn't particularly good, but that's okay. I think it's just God that's sending me a message. And I'm listening. Lord, I'm listening. So that's fine. I'm not angry. I'm just sitting here in the 90-degree weather watching the boats go by in the water. It's beautiful out. So I was just thinking about how everyone wants to be a doctor. Attorneys want to be a doctor. Judges want to be a doctor. Normal people on the street want to be a doctor. Because there's something that's called, in the disability community, is called invisible disabilities. So this is a cautionary tale for anyone who went through a stroke and who has to go through the disability process. And just to let you know right off the bat, there's a 99% chance that you'll get denied the first time. Unless you're blind, unless you lost like limbs. You know, I even had people going telling me, you know, walking that medical appointment, you know, with a cane. It's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not gonna sit here and exaggerate my disability to try to get what I want. And I didn't do it. I just was like, I'm gonna rely on the doctor's opinion. So of course I got there, and my thing is my fine motor skills. It's very hard for me to pick up things, and you know, it's hard for me to maintain a grip. I'm constantly losing my grip. I drop a lot of things. I've broken a lot of things. This is something that you can ask my mother. So it's hard to have a grip, and every job that I've had has been with my hands. I've had to use my hands. So this is all documented in my medical file. But when I get there, instead of the doctor examining my fine motor skills, he decided to examine my gross motor skills. He wants me to bend down, lean side to side, lift this leg up, see if you can balance. This is what I'm not complaining about that. Sometimes when I walk distances, I get tired really quick. But as long as I stop and pace myself, I'll make it. I'll make it. But this is not my complaint. My complaint is my fine motor skills. You know, I think it would have been easier on me if I would have just lost a limb. Because you always want to get that interaction with both left and your right hand. So I try to do things with my left, and you know, it's harder now that I don't have any those motor skills. So that's something. The only way you're gonna see something like that is if you're with them, a person day to day. Let's say if I had a caregiver, or if I was truly in a marriage. You know, right now my mother sees it on a day-to-day basis because she lives with me and she sees the struggle I go through every day. My aunt sees it because I spend a lot of time with her. You know, they help me a lot. But when you meet someone for 5 minutes, or they watch you, even if they're not focusing on what your deficit is, then it's hard to trace. Even with, you know, with all of the damage that's been done to my brain, unless you're with them day to day, you really can't see it. You know, my aunt was with me the other day, and we were talking, and then all of a sudden, I just stopped. And I had this blank look on my face. And she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah." And she was like, well, you were talking. I had completely forgotten what I was talking about. So I had to explain to her, sometimes my brain will stop and need time to reset itself and get back on task. It's the same thing when I'm carrying things. I can carry things a few feet, but I have to stop. Anything that's 25, anything that's more than a 24 pack of water, I can't lift 5 feet and walk 5 feet. I can lift it up and put it down, but if I try to walk with it, more than likely it's going to get dropped. So unless you see these things on a day-to-day basis, you judge people based on sight. People can see me with a dumbbell. I can't put a dumbbell in my hand that's more than 7 pounds. And they see you lift up a dumbbell, a video of you lifting a dumbbell. And they think you're okay. Oh, she's not disabled. There's nothing wrong with her. There's nothing preventing her to work. Because you lifted a dumbbell and you did 10 reps. It's not the same thing. I can't type. And like I already told you other things, I can't go past 10 feet. 25 pounds, forget about it. I can't lift it. It's not happening. And this is from a person that was all that I did for work. That's all I did. Right before my stroke, I got a promotion. And then I had my stroke. So it's hard for people to understand invisible disabilities. And the reason why we call it this is because, like I said, you're not going to notice it unless you're in my presence all the time. And everybody thinks they're a doctor. And everyone thinks that people like myself are trying to scam the government. I don't have time to do that. What I'm trying to do is give myself 4 to 5 years to get better, to get this hand stronger than it's ever been. I was registered for school. I can't do that because now I can't make any financial obligations. I'm not going to put myself deeper in debt. So the only thing I could focus on, I was also trying to get better insurance, because we all know when you're on this government insurance, they will find every single reason to deny you care. My occupational therapist says I need more sessions. My physical therapist said I need more sessions. But my health insurance won't approve it. So that was my goal, was to get better health insurance, to get to further my education, to make those connections with my brain, to try to repair whatever is blocked. Because I've already tried for over a year to do it with my therapist and through my own physical fitness, and it hasn't worked. So I was trying to do the mental side and see if I could build new roads to my brain from my hand, because your brain will constantly repair itself as long as you do the work. But now that in the position that I'm in, I can't get the things I need to get better. Because if you're on disability, you get Medicaid, Medicare, and they pretty much approve you for anything. Because that's what I had when I first got here, was Medicaid. And I got approved for every single session. But then they make you choose a provider, which I did. And now I gotta jump through hoops to get approved for any type of rehabilitation or therapy. Like, I wanted to get injections in my hand because I heard the injections that you use on your face to look younger, I forgot the name of it, if they put those in your hand, it'll loosen up your hand. It will help me that way. And I know someone on Instagram who's doing it, and it's working for him. His insurance covered it. Unfortunately, I would have to pay out of pocket, which I cannot. So not only with memory, you know, not only with physical, you know, my cognitive abilities has diminished. And but my desire hasn't. I want to go back to work because I want to interact with people. I want that side of it, the social aspect of everything, to help my brain. Like right now, my only social interaction is my family and my cat. But I want to interact with people, and I want to be able to get stronger. And anything you do to learn something improves your brain function. So those are my intentions. But my intentions got shot down because I am a fraud. Because a doctor spent 10 minutes with me. It's like a conveyor belt. You ever go to the, well, you have to. You go to the airport and you wait for your luggage to come on. You pick it up and you leave. It's like what they do. I know there's another term I'm trying to think of. But all the disability patients are on this conveyor belt. And they see a doctor for 5 minutes and they just keep going. You see someone in mental health for 5 minutes. And then they push you right out the door. And then they deny you. So you, when you get, if you ever have a stroke, and God forbid you don't, you do. God forbid if you do. Just be prepared to have everything and everyone abandon you. That I was not expecting. The state of California abandoned me after a year. They expected me to be better in 1 year after 3 ruptured aneurysms. So they abandoned me. My medical insurance, and I tell you, if you use Kaiser, don't use it. Because they abandoned me after a year. And then now that I'm living in New York, I don't receive Kaiser anymore, so I don't use it anymore. The only time I'll use it, well, I won't use it ever because I have my government health insurance that everyone wants you to go and get, and then when you fucking go and get it, they don't give you the services equivalent to someone who has better medical insurance. They're not treated the same. So why are we forcing people to get medical insurance and pay for it if you're not going to get the same treatment? It's just what I don't understand. So, but it's okay. It's just like I said, God is sending me a message. But he also knows that I'm a fighter. And I do not and I will not give up. No matter what. I may have had a setback today. But different people are handling my case tomorrow. And I'm not just talking about I'm talking about multiple things that's going on. I'm not gonna give up. because like I said, I have actually a 5-year plan. In 4 years, I want to be back to work. In 5 years, I want to start my business so I can work for myself. But for now, I'm just going to move on with what I have, which means I have to move. So I'm going to, you know, just look for a room for rent, because I'm not like this person who needs extravagance or needs to be living like a baller. You know, every show that I go to and I see these people, how are they wasting their money on material things? And of course, all the experiences I'm going through now and how they fight so much for material things. That's not my motivation. My motivation is to survive. You know, I was talking to God this morning. I was like, if I was a person bent on greed, just, you know, motivated by greed. And, you know, when you see these kind of people and they're like living abundantly and you're trying to scrape and survive just to be able to get to live on your own, it's discouraging. It's discouraging. So I think that with all these people trying to play doctor, come and see me and sit next to me. Let me sit next to me in a day, for a day, just 8 hours. 8 hours. And pretend that you own a business. Have me do different tasks with my hands. And at the end of the 8 hours, I'm going to ask you the question, would you hire me as an employee? Would you hire me as an employee? Sit next to me for 8 hours. And that just doesn't go for disability doctors and an SSI. Anybody who sees my Instagram, if you look at my Instagram, spend 8 hours with me and see if I can continue that kind of activity for a long period of time. See if you be confident in being, oh yes, you can do it for long periods of time. A minute? I could do it in a minute. Every video you see on my Instagram account is 60 seconds. There was one time where I had to ride a bike for a long distance. But people don't realize I had to ride the bike for the long distance because the Uber was trying to charge me $50. And I was like, nope. I'll ride the bike. A 10-minute ride took me 3 hours. 3 hours. So if you want to do Uber Eats on a bike, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. You know, I do like take one ride here, one ride there. But a lot of those people on bikes, they do it as a full-time job. I can't do that. Not only is my spasticity in my hand prevents me from doing that, but I do not have a way to sustain. I can't sustain the energy level that I began with. And there's also this other invisible disability that I want to talk about is my my aphasia. When I'm speaking, a lot of times people don't understand what I'm saying. I constantly get the reaction, huh, huh, huh. But then from my family and friends, they'll say, oh, you sound fine. I can understand you. Well, yeah, I just repeated myself. I just repeated myself. Did you understand me the first time I said it? No. But I know aphasia is serious. Like, mine is a mild form of aphasia. If I repeat myself like 2 or 3 times, you'll be able to understand me. Heck, this conversation for 20 minutes, somebody, you probably can understand me. But I know you can hear what I'm talking about. So I have to speak slow. If I speak fast, it's not, you won't understand me. I would have to constantly repeat myself and slow down. So I have to slow down my thinking. I have to slow down, you know, lifting things. It takes me longer. And like I said, you're judging me based off of 5 minutes. And I know that my doctor did not read my medical file. What's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word. You know, this is how they make money. The more people they see, the more money they make from the government. And they do the same test for every single person who walks in, knowing that we all have different disabilities. I'm not the same person I once was. I've applied for a couple of places I'm waiting to hear back from. But I don't know. I mean, I think I have to wait until I move so I can know where I'm living, because I can't travel long distances. It's very difficult for me. So yes, I can do a squat. I can do a little two-step. Of course, I can do those things. But is that going to get me a job? Is holding a 7-pound dumbbell in my left hand going to get me a job? I'm going to have to seriously get creative in this workforce. But like I said, my 5-year plan is to not ever to look at another disability payment again. My 5-year plan is to be completely self-sufficient. I don't want to apply. What's the word I'm looking for? Rely. I don't want to rely on the government. I don't want to rely on social services. I don't want to rely on food assistance. I don't want to rely on my ex. I don't want to rely on any of those things. Now, even though that this disability thing happened a long time ago, there's things that keep popping up that make me feel like people think I'm trying to scam the government. Because I have never been a person who sat on her ass. That's the reason why I was able to do what I do. because I do not want to sit still. Not that I do not want to. If I have to, then I do. Because like I can't do things for a long time. You know, I'm really grateful that the city of Yonkers is free bus service in the city of Yonkers until September. So I don't walk anywhere. Either my mother is driving me or the city bus operator is driving me. And also, just be careful with your social media. It's something that I should not have done, period. Because they will use what you're doing as an inspiration to other stroke survivors against you. Because all I want it to be is an inspiration. And to get better. Which is first and foremost. I want to be better. I want to be the way I was when I lived in Texas. I want that. I was a personal trainer. I was helping people get in shape, and I was in really good shape myself. And I want to get back. And I'm going to get back to that. It's not even a want to. It's a going to. So be careful with your social media, because your social media will be used against you. Like I said, come sit next to me. Not even sit, because I'm going to ask you, okay, what do you want me to do? Come be in my presence for 8 hours and see if I am employable. If I am, give me a job. Give me a job. And I think I have a lot of anxiety with returning to work, because I am such a perfectionist. You know, I worked in the cannabis industry, and I'm such an organizer. Everything has to be organized. You know, I would be getting up and down. I can't climb those ladders. I know I would lose my balance, and that'd be it. Go up and down these ladders on these shelves and shelving, stocking items, and making sure all the labels are perfect and perfect. I have anxiety about that, because not about doing it, but if I can't do it. Because I know I'm not going to be the same person. I'm not going to be able to lift things above my head. And that's, it kind of gnaws at your confidence. You know, so I'm not going to be the person who can work 100 hours in 1 week, which is what I used to do, 4 days a week. And then even sometimes going on Saturdays to do an inventory. That is who I was. And if I can't do that, then it's going to take a shot at my confidence. If I can't perform to a level that shows my employer that I'm an asset instead of a liability, it's going to eat at my confidence. And I already know I'm going to be more of a liability than an asset. Every other job I've ever had, I was an asset. An asset. I've always gotten promotions. When I worked as a corrections officer, before I left my job for reasons, I was going to be promoted to lieutenant. If I would have stayed at that jail, I would probably be running the jail by now. Running their jail, the jail by now. Because that's how good I was at my job. If I would have stayed. And I was fair. All that nonsense that you hear about going on in other prisons and other things and in the judicial system didn't happen on my watch, because I was fair. And I wouldn't allow anyone to be mistreated. So to have me running a jail or a prison is very beneficial because I'm fair. I was just going to talk about something else, but I think I forgot. What was I going to talk about? I guess coming from my history, to be insinuated that I'm a fraud takes a shot at my confidence and my self-esteem, at my integrity. And like I said, you want proof? Come spend 8 hours with me, please. But like I said, invisible disabilities is people judging you based off of 5 minutes of your time, a 1 minute video, because you do a shimmy, because you can walk to a bus stop, take a bus and go to an outdoor concert. These are things that I do to improve my mental health. That's the only reason why I do them. Music has always been a healer. So I love live music. They have a concert going on at the pier, which is about maybe 10 feet away from me. Not 10 feet. Maybe 10 feet. On Friday. Am I going to be here? Yes. Do they have seats where I can sit down and do my sit-down dance the whole entire time? Yes. Is it going to help me? Yes. After today? Yes. Me living my life, is it going to stop? No. I'm going to do everything in my power to improve my mental health. Because if I improve my mental health, then everything will fall into place. So I'm not going to give up the good fight. I understand everybody wants to be a doctor. I know that I'm being judged. I'm constantly being judged. I mean, I'm judged in the court systems just based off of the color of my skin and the fact that I am disabled. And just because the state denied me, the judge and the attorney played doctor and they said I don't have a disability. So it's okay. It's okay. I kind of freak out. It's like, oh, I'm going to be homeless. I'm going to be this. But I'm not going to be homeless because I'm going to I find a room for rent so my mother can go to Maryland. My mother works two jobs and she's 70. She wants to retire, but now she's worried about me, and I don't want her to worry about me, because I'll be okay with my room for rent. I'll be okay. It doesn't matter. Like I said, I'm not trying to come off. That's not. I'm always the helper. In my last relationship, like I said, we moved 7 times, 6 states. And every single time, I facilitated that move. Before that, well, we were together a total of 12 years. And I stayed home while she pursued her career. And now she's at the mountaintop. Well, not actually, because my dream for her, and it was her dream as well, is to get into politics and, you know, possibly be a governor or a senator. But, you know, I was able to be there and help her to get where she is, and it's pretty far along. And the person I was with before that wanted to quit her job and go to nursing school. And I did that for her. I actually helped her pay her way through school, and she had total access to my checking account. Well, no, she didn't. No, she didn't. She didn't have access to my checking account. I helped her financially with her school for as long as I could. And then when I left Arizona, I didn't do it. But she ended up with the assistance that I gave her. It got her on her feet, or got her going to the point where she is a nurse now. So I'm not the type. I think it's because I've been abandoned as a child and abandoned as an adult, that it's not in me to abandon someone. And now I'm back living with the person who abandoned me as a child. And the reason why I like laugh at these things is because I don't want to cry. I'm not going to cry. I'm going through a lesson. God is teaching me a lesson. And he's telling me, he's sending me a message. And I tell you, Lord, I hear you loud and clear. Loud and clear. Because if you don't move, God is not going to move for you. And it could be anything. Your body, your hand, your life. Anything. So I hear you loud and clear. I just don't appreciate things that popped up where people think I'm being fraudulent. Like I said, sit down with me for 8 hours. Or even sit down and have a conversation with me and ask me, what are my needs? And you'll see that it's not as bad as you think. Because I don't require a lot to survive. I'm not flashy. I don't waste money on things like clothes and jewelry. I don't waste money. So when it comes to this disability thing, I talked to my attorney today, and everything is moving forward as planned. And she even asked me, what's your outlook? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? And immediately my response was to be independent. Period, point blank. Independence. So after working as many years and paying taxes as many years as I did, I'm asking for your support for the next 5 years, and you can't accommodate me because you spent 10 minutes with me and probably didn't even read my file. More than likely did not read my file. There's no privately about it. So to everyone who's who's in this process and who, God forbid, has had a stroke, I have no idea.
The pier. We're at the pier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're at the pier. On the right side.
So I just strongly suggest that you make sure when you go to that doctor's appointment that you make it clear what your issue is. Because I think if I would have made it clear about my issue and he would have focused just on making me do exercises with my hands, he would have noticed that I do have a disability. It would have been clear as day. So I should have said this in the beginning, and you had to wait 40 if you went through this whole thing. thank you. But make sure that whatever it is that's hindering you from returning to work is what you focus on. What you make the doctor focus on, because they treat you like you're everyone else, like you're on a what is that thing when you're on the belt and they're just making carbon copies of you? and just, you know, creating you and spitting you out is, not everyone is the same. Not everyone is the same. So I haven't been on here for a while. I actually had a podcast that I didn't upload and I deleted it, so I don't know what. I know it was entitled Love. Something that I'm not experiencing on an intimate level. I'm experiencing more of hate. Like I said, I'm gonna laugh because I don't want to cry. Because I give love. Because if I was a hateful and mean person, there is so many things that I could have said and done out of hate. But I don't have hate. I think this is around this time that I've realized that I've forgiven. Forgiveness is the hardest thing to do. As I, for a long time, I did not forgive, and I was very reactionary. My brain couldn't wrap my head around it. And, you know, just being deep in prayer a lot. And, you know, I have my, I gotta leave soon. I have my, what do you call it? My prayer group soon. We meet every Wednesday. And I haven't missed a Wednesday. I should have been doing this before my stroke. Being involved in this prayer group before my stroke. Oh, another thing, please, before you have any kind of, what do you call it? Procedure in a hospital, please do your due diligence when it comes to getting information about your surgeon. And I'm not saying it's the surgeon's fault that I am where I am, because I think, I mean, I can't say that, because this is where God wants me to be. No matter what surgeon comes along, no matter what, the road to where I'm going is taking some detours. But that doesn't mean that I would have never had the stroke, because I'm supposed to be here. Everything that I'm going through, with my divorce, with my disability, is supposed to happen. It was inevitable. You can only be human and wish that things would have been done differently. And I can't focus on what ifs, because what ifs is not going to change my present situation. What if I'd have told the doctor to do this? What if I'd have got a divorce before I came to California? What if? No. No. You can't change it. So why am I going to waste my time with stuff like that? Do I wish things were different? Oh, yeah. Do I miss a lot of people that were in my life? Of course. But like I said, none of that matters, because it's not going to change where I am today. So I just want to say a short prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for this day and all the blessings you bestowed upon me. Lord, I thank you for this day, and I understand exactly what you're trying to tell me. And I understand that you're telling me to continue to keep moving forward, that no matter what, if no one else is standing beside you and is in your corner, that I know that you'll always be in my corner. I'll always have you. So, Lord, I'm never going to give up. on anything that I'm pursuing. I want you to be proud of me. I want to just live out the purpose you have set for me even before I was born. And so, Lord, I thank you again. You know, you sent me this message, and it's recharging my batteries. You sent me a message a couple of court cases ago, and it recharged my batteries. So I'm just, you know, resetting. The same way my brain resets itself, I'm refocusing my life. Lord, I'm focused on getting better, becoming independent, becoming self-sufficient, and becoming an asset to myself, my employer, my family, my friends, and to you. All that matters is being an asset to you. So I just thank you for today. I thank you for every lesson you have taught me, and every lesson as you continue to teach me. Lord, I just ask that you please, please, please get my medication. My doctor hasn't put in the approval for my medication that I need, that if I don't have, things get worse. So Lord, I ask that you please get someone to move, move, and get them to do their job so I can get the medication that I need. But in the meantime, all I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for everyone who's connected to me, and everyone near and far, no matter what. I just pray for them all, Lord. I pray that they're safe. I pray that you bless them. And I pray that you cover them with kindness, because we all have to be kind to one another. And I just pray for everyone who's going through something that's worse than me, because I know, Lord, I see a lot of stroke survivors, and their disabilities is on sight obvious. So I get it. My life could be a lot worse than what it is now. I could be struggling a lot more than I am now. So Lord, I thank you. I'm not mad at you at all. I don't feel like you betrayed me or you turned your back on me. I think you're just repairing me. You're repairing me from the inside out. And I thank you for everything and everyone. And I just thank you for just all that you've done for me up until this point. And I thank you for having this relationship with me. That's very different. It is very different. And I just look forward to it, to our relationship to continue to grow. And Lord, this world is crazy right now, so you got a lot of work to do. So I pray for you too. I pray for you. And I thank you for everything. And I know you're so good to me. And it's in your holy and precious name that I pray. Amen and hallelujah. And thank you everyone for listening to this podcast. And I'm sending prayers to you as well. Whatever you're going through, don't give up, because God will always help you to find a way out. Just keep your trust in him and just have faith. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. I knew that things was going to turn out the way they did today, because I picked out a Bible verse. I picked out a Bible verse and I said, God, tell me what's going to happen today. And he did Proverbs 21:26. But before that, Proverbs 21:25. After Proverbs 21:25, I already knew what the outcome was going to be. And that was the message he sent me, and I cannot ignore it. So I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to move. I'm going to look for a job. I'm going to continue to be good to people and not be reactionary and try to get vengeance, because vengeance is not mine. Vengeance is not yours. Vengeance is God's. So you, everyone, just have a blessed day. And I'm going to get out of this sun because it's too much. And thank you for listening.